He gave me a couple of visions on the way in today. And the word that he gave me was the rich young man. And sometimes you don't feel rich. You feel poor. And you're going to find this in Matthew chapter 19. So if you go to Matthew chapter 19 and you get to verse 16, you're going to see about the rich young man. Now, I don't know exactly how deep we're going to go today on this thing. All I know is there was several visions that came as I began to listen to what God was trying to push my buttons on. And so anyway, Father, without you we can do nothing. So I'm asking you now to anoint this time and fill my mouth with your words so that these will have an opportunity to mature and grow in Jesus' name. So the story about the rich young man starts with verse 16. A man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And verse 17 says, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." Now you got to remember that Jesus is ministering to this man as a Jewish young man. And he is operating under the old covenant. Verse 18 says, "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, and all these do nots I could relate to. Any one of you who were brought up into most of the denominational churches are going to relate to those because you know them. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, and you'll be fine. Verses 20 is his response. "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" I love the way that he sets himself up. He knows there's something missing. Amen? Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect." Huh. If you want to be perfect. Then he gives him the clue of what he's got to do. "Go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then, come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now I've already set you up. And I want to tell you about what happened with me. 1967, I was born again. I knelt down in front of the TV with Billy Graham, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord. I let him come into my heart, and my life changed because I then had a hunger for the word of the Lord. So the Bible became important to me. Up until that time, religion was my normal, everyday life. And the next phase came 10 years later, when the Holy Spirit came into my life. And that was in 1977. And in 1980, during the summer, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, "You're almost done with what you're doing now. So you can prepare your heart, because it's going to be time to sell the business. Well, I held this in my heart for many months, and I questioned the Lord on about every question that you could possibly knock at his door with. And the only thing I got was, it's time to sell the business. January 1981. I'm driving to work with my wife. We always prayed together. We held hands on the way to work. We had this furniture business for 20 years. And I said to her, several months ago, the Lord said that it's going to be something that we're going to be doing. We're, I believe, almost done with this phase of our lives. At this time, I'm 41 years old. I've got two sons. And I can remember my wife looked at me and she says, you know, just when we were almost finished paying the mortgage. That was her first response. And I looked at her and I said, well, I don't think that's the part that's important. I think the part that's important is God is calling us to go into a different level. So she said to me, well, what are we going to be doing? I says, I have zero clue. Zero. Had no clue. So she pondered on this, and we went to work. We worked all day. Came home, and the following morning, she says, you know, she says, this is absolutely stupid. I says, I totally agree. Don't make a darn bit of sense to me. She says, what are we going to be doing? So I pondered on that for the whole week. Lord, what in the world have you got us to do? What are you trying to tell me? And I kept hearing, your phase of this life is done. Well, it didn't make sense, but the following Monday, on our way to work again, we agreed. We agreed in prayer that Jesus was going to show us what we would be doing for the rest of our lives. Now, you got to remember, this is a challenge. And it feels like everything that you know is now put on a raft in a great big river, along with you, both of you, and your family, because it's going to affect everybody. Now, is it going to drive you nuts? Yes, it will. Is it going to be comfortable? No. It's going to be everything but comfortable. But I knew I wanted to be what? Better than I was and follow him instead of me. I had made that decision. He was either going to be my king or I was going to be my own king. Either he was going to be Lord in works and in actions, or else I was going to continue being what I was, in control. I love to be in control. It's wonderful, because then I know what happens, and I know what happens tomorrow and next week. Can anybody relate? Isn't it comfortable to know what's next? But when you follow him, you don't know what's next. It could be hell or heaven. It's up to you. And I wasn't interested in what I had already done for 20 years. And I had already tasted of a little taste of what the Holy Ghost could do. So, we prayed a very earnest prayer, both of us, to agree. Two of you, Matthew 18:19, agree on earth, asking anything of your Father, he will answer it. So we prayed that prayer. Anybody know that hell can break loose? At that point, the entire building that I had purchased 20 years before was now in very workable order. There were 7 apartments were full. Deacon verify that. And there were a couple of other tenants that paid their rent every month. We were what you could call living on Easy Street. The bills were almost completed. I just got done telling you that The mortgage was almost done, and that was a big gift. And the peace that was going to happen at that point, because then we'd know what's next. Isn't that wonderful? So that entire week, this is what their fruits were. Every single day, for 7 days, we had people at our door before we opened the doors. Every day, there was people, sometimes families with kids, and all we did was feed people. Morning, some breakfast, some lunch, some for dinner at night. And at the Thursday or Friday, Irene says to me, I don't have any money left. And I said, well, I've got a few bucks left. So we got to buy, because we had a little kitchen area in the back of the store. It was a table, chairs, a refrigerator, a stove, and a sink, and a little tiny skinny bathroom. But it was full of people a whole week. And can you imagine, out of 9 rentals, not one paid 1 penny of their rent. There were no customers in the store that purchased anything for an entire week. So who was talking to both of us? Because at the end of the week, by Sunday, we came home and we looked at each other and she says, you got any money left? Said, nope. She says, I don't either. I said, well, we got food in the freezer. She says, that's nice. She says, but what do you think God is saying? I says, I think we're going to feed the hungry. Because that's all we did the whole week. We prayed for every family. That's the entire week. She says, I don't know if I like this. I said, I don't either. I don't know if I like it at all. And you know what? The following Monday, we thanked him. We thanked him for answering our prayer. Did we do it with joy? Absolutely not. Because when your pockets are empty and you don't know what's next, it's uncomfortable. You're not full of joy. Come on. At least 2 people here should be saying amen.
I was
going
to say preach it.
What I'm getting at is this. That word became alive to me because I didn't want to stay where I was under those commandments. Didn't want to live there anymore. I wanted the greater works. And I was so hungry. I was lapping up the living water. That was the word that Mary Ann had for me this morning. She anointed my lips and told me to keep lapping up the living water. Yeah. Even all those years later, I'm still lapping. I'm not satisfied. Not happy with what's the status quo. I want more. I want to be perfected. What does it cost to be perfected? It's going to cost you everything you know. Every cotton picking thing that you got your brain set on or your mind set on. It's going to cost you. All the things that you've perceived about yourself and about your future and about your tomorrows, it's to be given to him. And let him orchestrate the next level. And you know, when he's the king, you are what? His subject. That means you're a king's kid. You get all his benefits. But not without a cost. The cost is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul takes a back seat to your spirit. You say, well, that doesn't make a darn bit of sense. Oh, yes, it does. So now we made plans. And within the next few weeks and months, I made plans to advertise in the Wall Street Journal for a business, etc., etc. And 1 week before the ad was to go in, which at that time, just for the northeast corner, was around $1,300 to $1,800. That was just one ad. And a letter comes in the mail. This is in July. First week of July. Notice it's a year that I had waited. The letter, I knew, had something in it, because the minute I picked it up, I felt the anointing and my spirit jumped. You say, how do your spirit jump? Well, if you look at the scripture, when Jesus, inside of Mary's womb, was coming up to John the Baptist and his mother, her spirit jumped, and the baby leaped. Elizabeth felt the same. A letter that I didn't know who it was from, because it didn't have an address, and I didn't know the person. And I heard in my heart and in my ears, well, this is an offer to purchase. And I said, oh my God. And now I'm trembling. And I took my letter opener and I zipped that thing open. And sure enough, here is one man that's offering to buy a piece of our building. He thinks is a separate building. Now, we had a big warehouse in the back, but he was thinking that part of our building was not completely ours. He thought it was a separate building we owned, but it was one foundation. And I said to him, Lord, what is this? And he said he's buying the whole thing, but he doesn't know it yet. Well, that didn't make any darn bit of sense. So I am actually shaking. I picked up the phone. I called my wife. I said, we have our buyer for the building. She says, oh my God. I said, we can cancel the Wall Street Journal. That part was intriguing, because now you're not going to, you know, be spending a couple $1,000s in hopes that you get a buyer with nothing guaranteed. But I knew that the anointing on that envelope was not something I had placed there. It was God. Bottom line, I said to my two sons, you guys need to pray. My oldest son said, Dad, he's going to offer X amount of money. He gave me the number. Exactly. 1 month later, the gentleman's had another letter in the mail with the exact numbers my oldest son had given me. And we agreed to sell. At that point, everything went nuts. By September, Dee knows, and so does Mary. But Mary was far away by that time with her new hubby. And what I'm saying to you is, I'm trying to give you the inside of how I felt through all this. It was highs and lows. It was highs when the miracles came, and the byproduct of those miracles brought me so far down that I cried out to him every single day, not knowing what's next. When I said to you I had visions on the way in here, is I had visions of all the status of the going out of business sale, which I told the Lord, what do you want? And he says, you're not to advertise or get any foreigners. I want believers to be your salespeople. So I announced to the prayer group that they were going to be hired if they wanted to work. And several of them had the jobs, and they became salespeople on the floor. And we only had 3 months, September, October, and November, to sell whatever was in that building. Now you say, well, hey, this is wonderful. Now the man who was buying the place was worth over $2 million in assets, but could not borrow one nickel. So all his desires to buy the building were falling apart. So by November, he tells me, now you got to remember, we've been going out of business now for almost 3 months. And he says to me, well, I can't get a loan anywhere. Well, that was wonderful news. And the furniture was being sold. The building had to be prepared. He wanted to take over by the end of November. Well, as God would have it, How, you know, sometimes God stretches you. Okay? So the stretching continued. Did I enjoy it? Sometimes it was, boo-hoo, what are you doing? Sometimes, God, I'm angry. Why? Because it was time for me again to be stretched. What was he looking for? He was looking for me to rely on him instead of on me. And I wasn't a very good pupil. I was used to doing things. I was used to doing things on time. I was used to making things happen. And he was pushing my buttons. So, December 7th. I believe the closing date was December 6th. We closed the door. We could not any longer legally open the front door. My wife looks at me and she says, now what? I said, we're going to Chicago. And that's exactly what we did. We got in the car, the three of us and Gary's girlfriend, making four. And we went to Chicago because our youngest son was graduating from basic training in the Navy. It was the worst trip and the wonderful trip. It was awesome. The war games were incredible. My son broke up with his girlfriend while we were there. It was hell. Okay? His girlfriend happened to be my oldest son's sister-in-law. So it affected two families. You say, oh my God, it was so wonderful. Yeah, it was wonderful to see him, but it was hell to watch the fruit of that trip. On our way home, my wife was so sick that we prayed in tongues most of the way home, 500 miles one way. Oh, excuse me, 1,000 miles. It's 1,000 miles from here to Chicago. Why would God do that? Because he was setting me up. When we moved into this building, the word Chicago came back into the picture. And when we moved into the other building, the vision that God gave me and a dream he gave me was of the exact motel in Chicago, off the highway, next to the airport, that made us move into the Econolodge. And all hell broke loose then. Rick Joyner from North Carolina confirmed that we were to be there. And it caused a lot of division. What is God building in your life out of your experiences? Are you going to be able to look back 20 years and say, it was God's plan, it was wonderful, it was great? I'll tell you, it was great. But did I enjoy the trip? No. Was I being broken? Yes. Was I giving up? And I remember coming back from this incredible trip. And now we can't open the front door. And I said, Lord, what about all the furniture that's still here? Because at least 25 to 30% was still left in the building. And I don't know when this man is going to come up with some kind of a solution to finish purchasing the building, because I don't know. There's no way to know. So crying out to the Lord week after week, month after month, and I said, Lord, what do I do? And this scripture is the one that came. Give to the poor. I remember one particular incident that happened. I can't tell you which month, but I would say February, maybe March. We had a gentleman that came to the prayer meeting. He was a full-time alcoholic. He was also one of my son's school teachers. I knew of his family because his ex-wife lived just a few blocks from my house. I knew the whole family. This young man came to the Lord, was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered from his alcoholism. And now he's thrown out of his house in the middle of a divorce, and the Lord said, set him up. He lived in a small apartment, And we backed up the truck in the back of the store, and we filled his house. We gave. Gave him a bedroom set, mattresses, living room set, kitchen set, and whatever else he needed, carpeting, etc. No charge. Less than a year and a half later, he was dead. Whenever anyone needed anything, we gave whatever we needed to give. By the time that June came around, God had given me a vision and a dream. The vision was that I was to establish this gentleman after he would increase his deposit and carry the mortgage for him. It was the very thing I did never wanted to do, because I never wanted to be his banker. But God had a different plan. I remember going to my attorney and telling him about a progressive mortgage that would be set up every year according to the interest rates declared by the bank. Every year it would be adjusted. They had never heard of a variable mortgage. Both of my attorneys looked at me and said, "Where did you get this?" I said, "The Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit." And they looked at me like if I had 10 heads and 50,000 bolts of lightning hitting my head like I'm a nut. "Where and how did you get this?" I said, "The Holy Spirit." So I called the owner of the buyer, I should say. And I said to him, "This is what I propose to you. My attorney will be writing to you on what is feasible." He says, "Kim, where did you get this?" Now, this is a man who was on an executive board of another church, had been born again for many years, and he said, "It sounds good." He says, "I'll wait to see what the proposal is in black and white." The closing date was the 18th of June. And by that time, I think we had just about enough furniture to fill up a garage that was left. And within the next few weeks, we gave that away to the poor. What am I setting you up for? What am I setting you up for? What am I really setting you up for? I'm trying to tell you that as He directed, we became perfected. Perfected in our trust of His abilities rather than our own. Perfected on His plan to take care of both of us. You know who was the most angry and the most wounded? My oldest son. Because he lived in one of our apartments. And he had his expectations that he was going to be the next furniture dealer. And I remember one of my suppliers from Worcester. Two fabulous Jewish men. The oldest of the two had been a very good friend because he was my salesman that would actually come. And we would see him usually about every 2 or 3 weeks. Said to me, "Kim, what are you doing?" He says, "Your son's about ready to take over." I says, "He already has. He's smarter than me. He knows everything about the business that I haven't learned anything in 20 years. He could teach me lessons." So I says, "He's too smart for me. So he's going to have to go on his own and earn his own living." He says, "Well, I could never do that to my son." He says, "He's expecting to step into your shoes." I says, "That's it. He's already. He wants to leave. He's smarter than anybody on the street right now." How many of you have children that are smarter than you? How many can give you lessons on how to be a parent? And they're still just barely into parenting. Are you catching a clue? I says, "I love him enough not to support him in his bad choices. Because right now, he's trying to direct my life. But he hasn't got a clue what he's going to be needing in order for him to complete his perfection with God and with man. And this Jewish man looked at me and he says, I've never heard any such thing. I said, well, you don't know my Lord. Do you know that about 4 years later, I met this man and he had turned his business over to his son and his business was in trouble? Why? Because he had chosen the way of man. And his son was squandering, and it wasn't very pretty. Then he says to me, do you know when you decided to close your business is when all the local small dealers started to fold 2 years later? Because at that time, interest rates were 17 and 18%. And they couldn't make ends meet. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. Then come follow me. Now, how many know you have instincts inside of you? And you have these ideas that you're going to be whatever you perceive you should become. I know we're going more normal on time today, but I'm not going to let go of what God is showing me to make sure that you know that I have paid a price. Did I enjoy paying the price? No. But don't think the anointing that's on my life didn't cost. And those of you who think you can get it just by laying on hands, you got news coming. There's a price to pay for each of you, and Jesus paid it. And you have an anointing coming on each of you. But that commission to give is yours as well as mine. It is there so that you can become what he's calling you to perfection. And that calling is not make-believe. You say, well, I haven't got anything to give. Ah, you better look at your heart. I want to take you to a few scriptures that will help you. Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I didn't like that. I thought I had to perfect myself. The Lord said, no. 2 Corinthians 13:11. This one's very important. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Ephesians 4:13. Until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what you described, Pastor Bob. Notice I said Pastor Bob. I didn't make a mistake. That's his word to you. Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present ourselves or present everyone perfect in Christ. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith to God. James 1:4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Am I there yet?
Nope.
Would I like to be there? Yes. Am I on the way? Yes. Did God use all these things for perfecting his plan? Yes, because for the next number of years, each time we got a payment on that building was how we survived, my wife and I. I haven't had a regular job since 1981. How did I live? Sometimes through the generosity of the saints and how God provided to keep me going. What's next? It's up to him. He'll keep revealing as I go forward. My job is to put one foot in front of the other. So if you put your Bibles down, we're going to pray. I would like you to stand. I'd like you to lift your hands to him. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. What am I saying? It's not a song. It's a reality. Say, Lord Jesus, give me the courage to go forward.
Give me the courage to go forward.
I need a lot of grace, Lord.
I need a lot of grace, Lord.
To obey.
To obey.
Until you mature me.
And give me the grace.
To give whatever I need to give.
To give whatever I need to give.
So that I will be free to be.
So that I will be free to be.
The man of God.
The man of God.
The woman of God. That you have called me to be.
That you have called me.
My life is not over.
My life is not over.
The excitement time is now.
The excitement time is now.
Because I'll watch you become.
Because I'll watch you become.
The Lord.
The King. The King.
The Master.
The Master.
Of my whole life.
Of my whole life.
For your glory.
For your glory.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For that grace today.
For that grace today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Look at your neighbor. Say, we're on a journey. And it's going to be great. Because we're going to be perfect. Because we have decided to follow him. Hallelujah. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory.